Welcome to the latest episode of Easy with Francisi. Richard is in his car. He's been for coffee this morning. We've had a slightly later podcast, but I'm still up, so I thought, yeah, let's do it. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing well, Damien. Thanks for accommodating. Doing very well.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. Absolute pleasure. Okay, so let's crack on with it. So, do you want to tell us what you've been up to for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. So I've done a fair amount of good exercise. I'm happy with. So just this morning and yesterday evening, I was on the bike on a stationary trainer on Zwift. I did about sort of about 45 minutes this morning. About 50 minutes last night. It was funny because last night I didn't calibrate the power meter, and this morning I did,
Oh,
and my
okay.
watts were about 50 watts lower. So whatever happened yesterday evening, when I was like whatever's recorded, is a gross exaggeration of my fitness, and it's hilarious.
It's all right. We didn't have to say that. You could have got away with it.
Oh, it's all right. It's just the bike, isn't it? I don't know what a power was really, so it's all abstract. Anyway, so that was good being on the bike. And then, in the last couple of weeks, I've done a mixture of walking. My mum was visiting, so we did a 12-mile walk, did a 7-mile walk, and did a kind of brisk 3-mile walk. They were good. I also got on the bike outside a couple of times, just for about, 8, 9 miles, so 40 minutes or so. Around town. And then I've been in the gym about every 3 days doing a mixture of walking up steps and then some conditioning work, some arms, some back, So in the last segment, yeah,
When you say walking up the
Damien.
steps, do you mean walking up the steps to the gym or on the steps in the gym?
So basically I go to the Y and there's three machines, no, four machines in the corner that are just rotating steps. Stairmaster, I guess it's called.
Okay,
I
just
put on
checking.
the old YouTube and I just watch YouTube and walk up steps. So I've been
Boom.
doing that when I go to the gym. But yeah, I've probably been exercising every other day on average.
What are you watching on YouTube?
Oh yeah, let me tell you about this. So I started out maybe a couple months ago watching Marco Pantani climbing Alpe d'Huez or whatever. So I'd put on the old, I'd connect my Bluetooth speakers and I'd listen to the commentary.
The
Most of
Italian
it's in
bandits.
Italian though.
The Italian
And then I
bandits.
started watching, huh?
The Italian bandits.
Yes. The pirate. Yeah, the pirate, I
That's
guess
the
is the
one.
nickname. So I watched him and I've exhausted that. And then I watched some velodrome cycling, the Madison for like an hour. I watched Bradley Wiggins and Mark Cavendish win the 2016 Madison. That was a great
Reminiscing,
race.
reminiscing, hey?
Yep.
Wow.
And then recently I've been watching the last thing I watched actually was Kenenisa Bekele's 2005 10,000 meter world record in
Okay.
26:17.53. I know that because that used to be the welcome screen on my Nokia 3310.
Is he recently retired? Did he retire? I
Probably,
think
mate. He
he.
must be probably four in his 40s now.
He is 41, but I think he had one more race left. But get the money in. Okay.
Yeah, you gotta make a living. Yeah, so I've been watching that. I watched Gabriel Selassie's 5K world record again from like the 90s. So, I just watched that if I'm on the Stairmaster. Otherwise, I'm just, doing something boring. I did do a bit of running on the machine as well. About 3 days ago. So, exercise has been good. I've been off work for the last 2 weeks, so that's helped. But generally speaking, my body's in one piece. I'm not feeling sore. And yeah, as I said, I'm exercising at least every other day for about an hour
Yes,
average.
that's good. That is good. And I tell you, the 12-mile hike, you can't underestimate that. That's good. Good exercise.
Yeah, it's good 3 hours.
Wow, that's a good period of time. Question: Pantini, the Pantini documentary, is it in
Pantani,
Italian?
yeah.
Pantani, sorry, Pantini. Is it in Italian or is it subtitles?
Oh, I wasn't watching a documentary, but there is one that is in English.
Okay.
It's more that when you're watching the Tour de France or the
Tour
d'Italia highlights, it's some Rai Uno Italian channel because, you know, obviously they love him.
They do. You should listen. You should listen to his podcast as well. Listen to his podcast when you get a chance. Some BBC Sounds.
Oh, yeah.
All right, good stuff, Richard. Good to hear that you've continued your comeback. That's back on it. I will go on. We'll natter on about my training now. So, well, it has been 2 weeks, and we got back to a two fortnightly schedule. When we last talked, I think I was running, and I'd had a bit of an issue with Achilles every now and again. It wasn't perfect, so that continued for the next couple of days, and then I decided to just I did some plyometrics at the end of the week, and it wasn't good. Around the next day, it wasn't good, so I took the Sunday off. So I'd run pretty much training every day, running two days on, one day off. I took a day off and decided to just cut back on the plyometrics, pretty much not do it. And so I've just started loading again, because I think I jumped into plyometrics too soon. And last week was the best I felt running for a long, long time. There's hardly been any issue with the Achilles. It seems to be that if I stick to, I'm on 30 minutes, 2 weeks. About 2 days on, one day off, seems to work. And I'm doing the strengthening in the gym and not overdoing the cross training. So it seems to be a lot better at the moment. I want to get the strength in the calves, the soleus, and global strength, like squats, deadlifts, get that up from where I currently am. And then I'll start to reintroduce plyometrics, maybe a bit even more conservatively than I was before. But it's about six hours of exercise a week. I'm not overdoing it. I'm doing more running now, so that it's a bit more specific, and I can't get the heart rate up as much in any other exercise, really. So it's a good quality in comparison to what I've been doing. But it's good. I'm pleased. Just got to keep the routine of strength and conditioning at least three times a week. Seems to be working every other day. So,
yeah, so Damien, where do you think the next 2 weeks are going with the training? What's your plan?
Yeah, I'm good. I've said I've been doing 30-minute runs, but there's sometimes been 35. I did 40 today just because I had to get back. So I want to keep it around 30 minutes. I managed 5 runs this week, and it's not been that any issues have been 1 out of 10, barely 2 out of 10. So that's all manageable with Achilles. So I think I'm just going to hold 30 minutes for this week, possibly the week after. And I found with the loading is that I'm quite quickly, it's clearly not strength, it's activation. I've quite quickly got back to where I was or a little bit more. So I think just get up to, I want to be able to lift half my body weight really with the calf and soleus, and then do some light drills. I think 2 weeks, hold the runs, maybe up it a little bit occasionally. But keep the 2 days on, one day off, and maintain the cross training. So those are the three things that I think I just need to do, just to consolidate. And then, and I'm finding that I'm not using Garmin. I'm just using a stopwatch, and that's taking any sort of temptation to push the pace. And some of my runs are quite they're off road and hilly, so it is. I think I'm getting faster just through. Just running, the gradual, because I'm getting fitter, the average pace is probably going up just for a steady run. So that's kind of taking care of itself, but there's no quality at the moment. I think I'd rather wait till I've loaded properly and done some gentle plyometrics before I start doing. Maybe I'd think about strides at the end of the 2 weeks from now. So not this week coming, the week after. Yeah, so it's positive.
Well,
Just
that's
gotta,
progress.
yeah, I hope it doesn't flare up again, but it seems to be a lot better. So, which is it's a
How
relief
is
this
your
week.
shoulder?
Shoulder's fine. Yes, yeah, and it's not 100%, but it's not affecting me when I run. I'm doing quite a bit skio, so that's putting quite a bit of pressure on the shoulders. I'm doing exercises. I did my first push up, or we call it push up here, press up the other day very slowly. That didn't cause any ill effect. So, yeah, it's all good. Yeah, that's a lot better. Cool.
Good.
Okay. All right. So, we're going to go on to our deep dive training talk topic today, and that is cross country race strategy. As we are pretty much banging on the door of cross country season in the UK. Different countries have it at different times, but we're going to focus on the UK, and it's starting very, very soon. A couple of weeks, the first league fixture of the season. So, Richard, do you want to tell us your thoughts on cross country race strategy?
Yeah, it's an interesting one for me because I think cross country has changed for me over the years of doing it from, 15 to whatever, 24, 25. And it changed because, you have your league races where it's a small field, but usually, at least when I was training, pretty high quality for where I was. And then you have your major, championship races with a huge field and, again, really high quality. And then I know that I raced a few races that were pretty small fields and kind of broad. So, it definitely evolved over time. And I think that I even remember watching the World Cross in Sevilla once in 2010. And it was like, oh, wow, it's a such different way to race cross country, right? I guess one person put it to me, this was Bruce. Cross country is like, you go out with the lead group no matter how you feel, and then you just wait one by one until people drop like flies, and hopefully you're there at the end, right? What's that, Damien?
No, I just laughed. No, that's a funny analogy. Dropping like flies. Yeah.
Oh, no, I think it's very accurate too, right? Having watched them at that level. And having been in a few races where I was, up in the lead group of a large, national level championship race, it really is just you one by one people drop off, and it's always really fast to start, and then you just slow down over the course of the race. So, I guess if you're at the front and wanting to be in the top five, top 10, that's a lot of the way you run the race, right? If you're looking to be in the 20s to the 40s. You don't necessarily need to go with that, but you can pick people off for the rest of the race, but you're never going to be up the front end, right? Not in that top dozen. So, that's something I picked up over time. And yeah, there's also an element in those races where there are still tactics. It may not feel like that if you're, somewhere in the 50s or 60s or 70s of a intercounties, and you're just going eyeballs from gun to tape. But yeah, so I think my tactics when I was up front really were much like a track race. You wait for something to happen. But if it wasn't such a big race, then you might actually just be going as high as you can throughout, particularly when I was younger. The first
Yeah.
mile was probably the only place where there was some leeway, where you could ruin your race.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, we've got to be clear with cross country in the UK, especially when it's wet, the demands do change quite a bit. So really just a bit, in comparison to European or world champs where they're on. Or, in America, Australia, where they're on pretty firm footing, the terrain is of course the same, but the course itself, in the UK can be very thick, heavy going, tough going mud. So that is, I'm often one of my thoughts. Well, one of the things I tried when it was, especially when it's the conditions are tougher or it's wetter or underfoot, is my theory was always that you need to sort of run the course to know, or at least have an understanding of the course before you can utilize come up with any tactics. But if the course is wet, I often think that if you can be at the front of the group, then you're kind of, especially it depends if it's a lap course or not, you can find slightly firmer footing in the initial stages. So you actually do have a bit of an advantage, whereas, as opposed to being at the back of the middle to the back of the field, quite a lot of people run through it. And then the second lap, it becomes even more so. So it depends on where you are and what your goal is and your standard of athlete. And I agree, yeah, when I was going through a phase where I was probably in the top 30 in some of the league races, and then I made a bit of a jump up to being in the top 10, top five, close to the front. One of the breakthroughs was that I just went up harder. I just went up harder, stuck with a group, you get dragged around. And I think, like tactics as well, you've also got to be quite honest in terms of where you are in terms of your fitness. And it's as much as it's like it is like a track or road race. If you go off too hard, you can suffer quite a bit. So you're often, depending on the course, it's quite tough. You're stuck on your own. You've got to really slog it out on your own on quite a, which can be quite a hilly. It could be a hilly course. Yeah, the other thing is that I think, like, because of the, I think cross country psychologically is probably one of the hardest events because of the, especially the course is not flat and smooth and the ground is, but like some of these, kind of well manicured European world champs races, if it's tough going, you're constantly chopping and changing pace, so that it's quite mentally demanding as well. And not only just physically demanding. So there are a couple of things there that you do have to train to be able to race cross country well.
Yeah, you mentioned a few things, and some things came to mind. I think, yeah, with a lot of the cross country races at large fields domestically, the course does deteriorate a lot during the race. And I think, when you're under 15, under 17, or even a junior, you actually also don't have such cut up courses, right? As soon as you get into the seniors, there's a whole different ball game in like January and February. And I think it makes a big difference to sort of be up front or as high up as you can early on, to avoid the deterioration, because those 10 seconds in the first 2 miles are much easier than getting 10 seconds in like the last mile,
Exactly.
unless of course you're a strong, physically strong runner, in which case you can absorb some of the beating of a cross country race. I think I'll also say, I found this over time, just the way I used to race, and some of this is because of either strength, physical strength, or just the kind of races I was in. I always found that I could only ever really hold my own uphills, so I would try to stay with people uphills. And then off the hill, I would always find I could either open up better down the hill or on the flat. And 3 or 4 seconds there is demoralizing the competition, right? And you could really make some damage there in a race. That's something I probably picked up a few years into racing cross country. When do you want to exert yourself? Because you do have opportunity to do that. And then also, where your strengths are. Like one of the strengths I know I had was, coming off a hill, I could maintain for a few seconds of really high intensity. And then the hills, it would come back to me, the heart rate would come back down. Whereas I think some athletes would think, I'm going to push away on the hill. But actually, they didn't have the strength coming off the hill to maintain it. So the terrain obviously plays a big part. And when it's muddy, it's even more. The other thing I would say before passing it back to you is, running through puddles or through muddy patches, I would always just go shortest route. And I'll tell you why. Number one is I was strong. Like my legs were quite strong. I wasn't a very slight runner. Two, you don't have to break your stride and sort of, get around some narrow parts. And also, people around you were like, oh no, how am I going to keep up with that? I think there was the psychological aspect there as well. Obviously, there's the risk of ruining your ankle, but I never really went into that problem because, you know, the course was the safe. So that's another thing.
Yeah, a couple of really good points. I think with the heels, yes, it's been able to be, you know, to push up the hills, but not so much that you can't run off it. So it is really a matter of gauging the effort properly. And I think I wasn't as good going down as you, but I was fairly good. I was kind of good at all, going up, holding off the top and going, you know, going down. Kind of, I think I went past people up hills more often than not. I think the point about running, yeah, through puddles, that can, I find it's quite instinctive. Like the more you run off road, the more you just, you're almost picking the path ahead of you. You see everything, you see things that others don't. You make a quick judgment call: do I go through? Do I go to the side? And as you said, the more you change, shifting from left to right. So it is quite a waste of energy. But like, I'll finish off with like cross country is, I think it's the purest form of racing because there is, as much as it's a 9K course, it's not accurate. You can't, no two courses are comparable. You are just racing. So whenever I coach athletes, I've just said, just stick on to people. Just, if you get in a group, stick in a group. If someone comes past you, just try and go with them. Because you're just, you can almost push yourself to a, It's all just about effort. You just have to run as hard as you can. And it can be bloody tough. But it's running is a lot of mind over matter. But I think it's such a pure event. And so much it's just down to just running hard.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you can always guarantee in cross country is, yeah, you might kick at the end, but up to that point, you will have been working very hard, right? Unless you're somebody who's way off the front and, you know, it might as well be a track race or a time trial, you will come into that last K and it will still be hard, you know? It's a reasonably consistent way of racing, I think. You know, they don't have the variability in like a 1500. And I think the other level of it, this is something where I've seen a lot of athletes maybe don't have the confidence on the track succeed in cross country is, you know, when you're finishing the last half mile of cross country race, it's not actually that fast in real terms, right? Especially if it's muddy. So you can be a lot more competitive, you know, in those races without being able to run like, I don't know, a 58 second last lap in a 5K or a 1500, right? You know, there are other ways to sort of be competitive in cross country that you don't get on the track, I think.
Very, very true. Now I think we both remember finishes through just bog. You get the finishing straight, it's just a slog. Who can slow down the least, really? So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think, yep. Yeah. Okay. We're going to call it there.
I think we will. Thank you, Richard. Hopefully listeners have got good insights there and maybe some helpful tips for their first cross country race. I think one thing we forgot to say, maybe it's not tactics, is make sure you tie your laces properly. Use tape if you have to, because losing a shoe is not a fun way to run a race or to have to stop. Oh, Richard, you got one more point. Go on.
One other thing I would say is spikes. We didn't talk anything about spikes.
You did.
I would take the strategy of always having some spikes that were long, even if some of the course didn't call for it.
Okay.
You know, if there are parts of the course that were very muddy, you know, I would make sure I had 12s or 15s in. Not all.
Yeah, just
so that I was still able to compete there and then just absorb whatever problems happened in like firmer parts of the course.
That's it. We'll leave it with the spikes. They are very, very important. So, okay, Richard, thanks a lot. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for coming on and enjoy the next 2 weeks. in Nashville. Cheers, Richard. Take care. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.